you know, if I had been thinking, Chris, I'd have had you find the music from the Twilight Zone. Because the spirit of Rod Serling is on me. Imagine, picture this. Picture a city. Picture a county where prosecutors aren't working, where there's no public defending of those accused of crime. They can't afford, they can't afford to defend themselves. Picture no child support office. So if you're a mom looking for your child support dollars, you can't get them. If you're a responsible dad paying them, nobody's collecting the money and sending it to the mom, and the kids are hurting. Imagine a city where there's no coroner. There's no CSI. No one would know. What happens to those bodies? Imagine a treasurer's office where you couldn't pay your property taxes on time. Imagine a sheriff's department where the jails couldn't be protected and the criminals are just running around loose and there's no community corrections. Yes, if you're wondering what kind of zone we're in the Ballard Zone. This is, yeah, so now all of you that are... in charge of monitoring this program on the 25th floor. Yes, I'm talking about you. On Friday, the mayor of Indianapolis did some line item vetoes of the $1 billion budget for city county government approved by a bipartisan majority, 16 Democrats, 2 Republicans, a couple of weeks prior from the city county council. And I know there are some great real lawyers up in the mayor's office. But I don't think they read Indiana Code Section 36-3-4-14, subsection B. Which, and you know, I love to read laws to everybody here so you know what is actually in the law book. That section of the law says all ordinances and resolutions of a legislative body, and they're talking about the City County Council, are subject to veto except the following. 1. An ordinance or resolution or part of either providing for the budget or appropriating money for an office or officer of the county provided for by the Constitution of Indiana or for a judicial office or officer. And then 2, an ordinance or resolution modifying or approving the budget of a political subdivision that the legislative body is permitted by statute to review. The Indiana Constitution mandates that every county in Indiana must have a sheriff, a prosecutor, a coroner, an auditor, an assessor, a treasurer, a recorder, a surveyor, and a clerk of the circuit court. The Constitution also requires that there shall be prosecutors. Not necessarily in every county, but in judicial districts, and some judicial districts are big enough that they include an entire county. The Constitution also provides that there shalt be judges, just like Scripture. Scripture says thou shalt. Constitution says there shall be some judges. And this part of the Unigov law says that you cannot veto an ordinance, a resolution, or a part of same providing for the budget or appropriating office for an office or an officer of the county provided for in the Constitution. Obviously, what the mayor has done has got some folks upset. Some of these upset folk are in the House. In the House is one of those constitutional officers. In fact, Marion County Prosecutor Terry Curry told me his money comes from the state. So if the mayor's budget cuts go through, he would have to personally prosecute every alleged criminal in the county because his money would come from either Mr. Gregg or Mr. Pence or Mr. Bonham. And the rest of the money would come from the mayor that he didn't want you to have the money. So poor Prosecutor Curry would have to be running from court to court to court trying to prosecute people. But then the courts would be closed because the mayor didn't want the courts to have any money. There'd be no child support. That's enough to cause this to be ridiculous. But he's one of those constitutional officers in the House. The City County Council President, Maggie Lewis, is here. City County Councilor at Large, representing all of Marion County, John Barth, is here. City County Council Majority Leader, Vern Brown, is here. Councilor Monroe Gray, who's been around a lot, and even he doesn't remember anything this ridiculous, and even got 2 chief financial officers. I have the chief financial officer of the city county council that the mayor's action would put her on the unemployment line. Not only that, the mayor's action, as I understand it, would eliminate rent for the city county council's offices, copying and printing services. The city county council couldn't even have a telephone. They couldn't have a computer. They couldn't have a general counsel. The Republicans couldn't even have their own counsel. They wouldn't be able to do anything. This is definitely from the Twilight Zone. Rod Serling couldn't write this any better, guys. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Madam President, let me first ask you. The mayor says that he's doing this to bring Democrats to the table so that we can find a responsible solution to our budget woes for the next 3 years. In this, from the time the council approved the budget until last Friday, did the mayor pick up the telephone and say, Ms. Lewis, Madam President, we have a problem. Can we sit down? Here's my concerns. Can we sit down and talk about it?
No, the mayor never reached out to me to have a conversation regarding the budget. And so for him to make a statement that says that he's doing this to bring us to the table is ridiculous. I've always been at the table. I said from day one when I accepted this position that we wanted to be a partner in this city. So, no, I haven't had any communications with the mayor.
Mr. Prosecutor, I know you talk with the other prosecuting attorneys, you know, around the state, you know, just on, you know, how are things going? And sometimes there might be tension between a county prosecutor and the county commissioners in a particular county. Have you ever heard of an instance where county commissioners who really run their counties as opposed to the mayor who is basically the county commissioner, the county executive here, have there ever been an instance that you've heard of where county commissioners have denied a county prosecutor their ability to operate financially?
Certainly it's rare. I am actually aware of some tension in Monroe County between the elected prosecutor and commissioners there, but that revolved around dispute over forcing the prosecutor to rely more and more upon deferral funds, diversion funds, and that sort of thing. But otherwise, no. I mean, you're exactly right. The prosecutor's budget, the sheriff's budget should be off limits.
When you got the word that the mayor had vetoed your budget, and by some estimates, out of maybe $24 million allocated in the budget, it would take away $13.5 million in your revenue completely, plus wipe out the child support division, what was your reaction?
Well, having seen this process play out, I guess on one hand, I wasn't surprised. That doesn't mean that I was pleased about it, not in the least, but I certainly wasn't surprised that we've reached this point. The whole budget process from our perspective as a county office holder has been frustrating from day one. We've had the inability to get fundamental information from the Office of Financial Management, the Comptroller's Office. And so in direct response to your question, was I surprised? I was not surprised. It's obviously unacceptable. We cannot function with those sort of cuts. To put it into perspective, I mean, we've had a flat budget the entire time that I've been in office. And so as a practical matter, that means we're going backwards based upon the cost of living and the cost of everything that we have to do. Our employees haven't had a raise in over 4 years. And so this is just an intolerable situation.
Madam President, the budget – walk me through this. I get confused sometimes, and my granddaughter I think does a better job understanding the books than I do. My understanding is the total dollar amount that the mayor requested to be spent on city county agencies that he delivered to the council back in August, that you all basically approved the same dollar amount he asked for.
Absolutely. And so the bottom line is still the same. And so we are not overspending. We just shifted a couple of things in the budget. That's all we did.
Walk me through this homestead tax credit. The mayor seems to believe that he absolutely has to have an elimination of the property tax, homestead tax, property credit, whatever it's called. That would, you know, save, you know, $20, $30, $40, maybe $50, $60, maybe $100 off of a property tax of a homeowner. Mm-hmm. That it would affect 200,000 homeowners in the city, which is a majority of the homeowners in this county. He seems to feel, or he's left the impression, that without eliminating that credit, the city will die. What makes this credit so valuable?
You know, we're talking about $8 million, and the council has said that we are open to having a conversation about the homestead credit. He presented that as an option without having a conversation with the members of the city county council. Republicans nor Democrats had an opportunity to actually look at this option. And so it would raise property tax. And regardless if it's $5, $25, people were going to feel it in their pockets. And at the time, we did not feel like that was a good option for our community. So we felt like we were saving the taxpayers some money.
John Barth, you represent everyone in the council, but you live in property tax raise ground zero on the north side. Is that still a sensitive issue that even if it was $25, $50, $5 in your neighborhood, folks would get antsy about it?
It's an extremely sensitive issue. And when you ask the question, is it still on people's minds? It's interesting you bring it up because this weekend I was out in the community talking to folks and at the door supporting President Obama and others. Someone out of the blue came up to me and said, you know what, I'm glad that you guys stood up and didn't raise taxes. He was very aware of the fact that that would have had an effect on him and his pocketbook.
Vern Brown, you're out there in beautiful Warren Township. There's a lot of homeowners out there. Some are hanging on still in this economy by their fingernails. Is property taxes even anyone hinting at raising them, whether they're Democrats, Republicans, Libertarians, or just fly by night? Is that still a sensitive topic out your way?
Yes, it is, Amos. And as the mayor said in his first story that he told, it only impacted a few homeowners. And as you said, it's 200,000 homeowners and property owners in Marion County.
Did the administration finally ever admit it was that many homeowners it would affect?
No, he said only a few. Few is one or two.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Not 200,000, not the majority of homeowners in Marion County. But that was incorrect.
239, you may have questions about this. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. The other thing, Madam President, he seems to use the street vernacular, have a Jones about the Capital Improvement Board. I don't know why he's so attached to it. I don't know. Maybe they gave him a Christmas present last Christmas. Or maybe they gave him a new car. I don't know. But what did the council want to do with Capital Improvement Board money? And the administration is saying that you would be taking money away from their ability to pay off their mortgages, the bonds that they hold for rebuilding, not the stadium, because the state rebuilt the state, building the old stadium we tore down and made a part of the convention center, Conseco, the field house, or whatever the name is for it this week, and the parking lot that's still Market Square Arena and those kind of things. He's saying that the funds you took from the CIB would bankrupt or wreck the CIB.
That is a ridiculous comment. What the council was attempting to do was to take $15 million from CIB to basically pay for services that they receive free. It would not bankrupt CIB. They had $68 million of operation dollars that we could utilize, but we asked for $15 million for 1 year, and then after 2013, we would go back and revisit it. So we would not bankrupt CIB. And once again, it's about them paying for services that they receive currently for free.
The Democratic majority could have, correct me if I'm wrong, you all could have in the budget revoked those raises the mayor's office gave to his staff. You all elected not to do that, to leave that alone?
Absolutely. So the mayor presented his budget. We left it intact. We did not play any type of games. We could have came after his travel dollars. We could have done a number of things, but we left his budget intact. And so for him to come back at the 11th hour and attack our budget, I felt like that was basically playing games and playing politics.
Yeah, I know I'm just an honorary lawyer here, but the lawyers in the room, it sounds to me if one branch of government takes a punitive action against another branch of government, that sounds like an argument that's got to be settled in somebody's courtroom.
Well, and looking around, I guess I'm the only you're the honorary lawyer. I'm the only member of the bar. Certainly, it would be our hope from the prosecutor's perspective that calmer heads can prevail and that we don't reach that point. Certainly, we don't want to have our budget contingent upon litigation. But as you've indicated, we certainly agree that some of the steps taken in the veto are illegal.
239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. What are the steps now? In other words, what happens if the council does nothing In other words, let the veto stand. What happens next?
If we leave everything the way that the mayor presented it on Friday, the council will not be able to do business in 2013. Like you said earlier, we do not have dollars for an office. We can't send out public notices, which means we cannot change any of the local laws. And so we basically cannot do the people's business if we leave that portion of the budget as the mayor presented it on Friday. And then when we speak about or talk about our county agencies, they too are looking at not being able to do business because their budgets will be cut, some of them, at 100%.
Now, he's talking about moving $31,767,652 in county option income tax money. That's the county share of that, sticking it over in the treasurer's office that wouldn't exist because he's going to cut the treasurer's off budget.
By 100%.
And just sitting in a room somewhere. I remember the days I paid my property tax, and I still pay it, and look at those little property tax rates they print in the newspaper, that there's a rate for county general fund. So where did that money used to go? Before we had the county option income tax, I thought there was money that went to the prosecutor and went to the courts and went to the coroner and went to the auditor and assessor. That's what funded them. So what happened to that money? Where did that did somebody take that money? Is that money under the roof under a mattress somewhere? This is one of the people the mayor wants to get rid of is the council's. You can talk if you Hope Tribble, who is the council's financial analyst. Where did that tax money go?
Those revenues are still there, Amos. The total appropriations from the county general fund is $181.4 million.
Mm-hmm.
What the mayor has vetoed is $31.7 million, or 17.5% of those appropriations.
So he just arbitrarily took 17%, or one out of every $6, just because he felt like it. There's no rhyme or reason with that. The other thing is, Majority Leader Vern Brown, I thought that when that local option income tax increase was approved 4 years ago under the Peterson administration, wasn't all this money supposed to go to public safety? And a lot of these allocations, prosecutor, courts, sheriff, public defender, community corrections, coroner, forensic services, isn't that public safety?
That's correct, Amos. The increase in COVID was for public safety 4 years ago. When Mayor Ballard ran for office, once again, he didn't tell the truth. He said he was going to rescind it. Instead, they squandered the whole.
Maybe he just figured out now he could. This was the rescission. Rescission.
Not really, because the money still stays with the city. It just goes into a bank account in the treasurer's office. And this whole issue was because of the CIB. Councilor Gray, who chairs municipal corporations, and I met with Ryan Vaughn and Tommy McClamrock to negotiate the CIB's pilot for public safety, to fund public safety. They refused to negotiate. Then after we passed the pilot, they came back and made some. I don't call it negotiation. I call it blackmail. And it was the acting mayor, Ryan Vaughn, with the blackmail of the city county council.
Is he really the mayor of this city? Everybody keeps talking about Ryan Vaughn this, Ryan Vaughn that. Is he really the mayor? And the mayor, I said on the program Friday that, and maybe the prosecutor needs to investigate this because maybe some wrongdoing, that somebody has captured our mayor. Somebody has, some aliens came down from another planet and just lifted his spirit out of his body and replaced it with something. That's not really the genial, non-political, wonderful, ribbon-cutting mayor we all love and respect.
He was probably in China or Korea or South America on another economic development trip. But Ryan Vaughn did make some demands on the council, not a negotiation. And that's the only time we spoke with the mayor's office during this entire budget process, when Ryan Vaughn said if we give the CIB $8 million in perpetuity for the rest of their lives, then they would give us $4 million. So if we pass the ticket tax and the car rental tax, they would give us another $4 million.
They keep adding taxes. They want to tax homeowners. They want to tax rental cars. They want to tax hotels.
That's correct. It would have equated to $15 million for the CIB per year and $175 million over 10 years for them to give us $15 million for public safety.
Let me find a neutral lawyer here, Rod Bohannon at 239-1310. Hi, Rod.
Hey, Amos, how you doing, sir?
I'm fine.
Pretty good.
Yeah, take some of the pressure off the other lawyer in here, the prosecutor here.
Thank you, Rod.
Well, here's a couple questions. If you remember, the whole issue that arose with the former mayor, Bart Peterson, was over taxes. And I have not heard folks, I mean, the whole issue was the Republican Party always argued they would never raise taxes. So this is a tax issue on property owners. Now, people keep forgetting and keep thinking that there was an automatic cap on the rise of property tax. They've forgotten that the constitutionality has not been passed because you have to go twice to the legislature. So that's why the mayor's able to get away with this and saying, I'm going to do away with the homestead credit and therefore raise property tax because it was not yet passed constitutional muster so that he can't do it. But I find it interesting, I have not heard from the folks on Meridian Street, Illinois Street, all those folks, the Tea Party, who led all that effort against Bart Peterson. Where are they standing on this? Now, the second issue is, you're right, that pilot was supposed to go directly into public safety. And I think it's interesting with all the issue of crime that we have coming in, what's happening, the large number of almost every day you find somebody being shot, and the lack of fact that we're 300 what, police officers short, that you know, there's a threat that another 175 police officers may take the buyout. How much money is that going to cost us? I got 47 of firemen who are threatening to take the buyout. How much that's going to cost us? Now, if you don't have a public safety class coming in, new recruit for firemen and for police officers, you'll never play catch-up. And therefore, we'll never be able to turn the city around so that you be able to say we, in fact, have a safe city. My last point is this, and I told some people at the CIB board, you know, if you think about it, a lot of people no longer rent cars in Marion County and go to Hampden County because it's cheaper. You raise some more taxes. When I used to go out of town, we rent a car versus put the miles in my car. I used to go out to the airport. I stopped doing that because the cost of the rental, all the fees now, almost 20% of the actual rental cost. So are you really helping, you know, in terms of the tourism in this community and people in terms of using services? Or in order to get around this notion that we're not raising taxes, do a sleight of hand versus dealing with the real issue, saying we, in fact, have a budgetary problem, we have a concern, we got to figure out how to meet it.
You know, that's a very, very good point, because I think the hotel, motel, and other taxes are as high in Indianapolis as they are in Orlando. And the last time I checked, we ain't got Disney. Disney and Universal don't live here.
Well, I think the council people can speak to it, but I have always raised the question, you know, in terms of given the taxes, and when you look at the convention, you go to the Convention Bureau website, turn the conventions coming in, are we losing conventions because that, A, we don't have, you know, the sites like Disneyland, et cetera, but because the fees that they're now tacking on in order to make their budgetary work, is that, in fact, impacting on it?
All right, good point. Who wants to answer? Who wants to respond to that? Vern?
Anyway, yes, our taxes are higher. They did a survey. Yeah. We're in the top 10 in the country, just a little bit behind Cleveland. I think we're a much better city than Cleveland.
Yeah.
And have more things to offer. But they're living off this, and they try to force us our hand into raising the taxes by saying that the CIB will fund public safety and give us some money back for all the systems and all the personnel they use for every event. And as Councilor Gray said, they did threaten us with saying the mayor was going to veto the pilot for the CIB, which the CIB's budget doesn't even go to his desk. He would have had to come down and steal it off the clerk's desk in the council office in order to veto it. So he had no veto authority over that. Now he's saying even if the CIB was willing to take care of their responsibility and pay some money back to public safety so we could hire more police officers, he wouldn't accept the money.
Let me go to Jeff. I think Jeff's ready for y'all to go to the barricades at 239-1310. Hi, Jeff.
How you doing, Amos?
I'm fine.
How you doing, our guest, Adam Councilman, and it's prosecutor and other distinguished guests. Well, guess what? We told you so. Yeah, and, you know, Amos, these seem like very intelligent people. Have you all just figured out we're dealing with a narcissist?
A narcissist. I think that they're trying to be nice today, even though I think
I'm sorry, but this is a man. He basically threw the black community under the bus. We told you what this guy was going to do, and now he's a self-made prophecy, and we told you so. And now you're dealing with this Frankenstein monster. You guys could have stopped, but you didn't do it. So I mean, hey, maybe the council bears some responsibility, but this man is a narcissist. He's basically telling you that he's not even a mayor. He's an
I don't know. I don't know whether it's a narcissist. Sounds like Richard Murdoch. 239-1310. 239-1310. That's after whose name is. But this also sounds, and Monroe Gray is kind of laying back because both of us with gray hair. This sounds like what I believe it was President Nixon tried to do with the Democratic Congress back in the day, impoundment. where the president did impoundment of money, trying to keep Congress from spending it. I will impound it. And I think there were some lawsuits back in the day over whether impounding was a legal remedy under the federal Constitution, whether once the Congress appropriated the dollars, there is no line item veto in legislation. You either, you know, veto, unlike here, you either veto everything or not. And so President Nixon, you know, I'm going to impound the money. I'm just not going to spend the money. And it sounded like this is something similar. And I think it ended up into a big hue and cry. The other caller, Councilman Barth, said this is a black community. These cuts aren't going to affect just African-Americans. This is affecting everybody in this county.
No, I think that's important to understand, and I think that's starting to resonate out across the community, especially when they see the impact this is going to have on law enforcement with the prosecutor and the sheriff's office. That affects everyone north, south, east, west.
239-1310, 239-1310 is afternoon's name. Let me take a quick break. We'll come back with more. The prosecutor will be here for a little bit. He's got to go down and he's got to hurry and prosecute cases before he runs out of money. But council president is here, vice president, counselors, and others getting your reaction. It's your money. And the mayor, as of the first of the year, wants to have no coroner, no 4-H, no auditor, no assessor, no treasurer, no clerk, no surveyor, no child. All you moms and dads, you know, I'm tempted to have everybody that's on child support on both sides of the ball call the mayor's office. I'm tempted. I may not do that today. I reserve the right to invoke that at some point. Oh, speaking of that, we'll have people that are running for the legislature here tomorrow from the black majority districts. Maybe there's something that could be done at the state level to keep runaway rogue county executives from acting a fool. Because this is state law that says the mayor cannot do what he needs to do. Anyway, it's Afternoons with Amos for a Monday. You know, I think this looming city constitutional charter, whatever. Wait a minute. We don't have a – what do we call it? If there's no constitution for Indianapolis, what do we call it? The charter crisis, legal crisis, what happened to the mayor's fiscal crisis? I bet that's going to be discussed November the 1st. At Channel 13's Decision 2012 Town Hall thingamajig over at Chase Near East Side Legacy Center. Andrea Moorhead, I mean, here I am, Andrea. I'm giving you the news that'll be your second lead after Sandy. I'm giving you the looming. But can you imagine a city with no coroner, the jails empty, no courtrooms, no public defenders? Prosecutor Terry Curry has to prosecute all the crimes by himself because he's paid for by the state, and all his deputy prosecutors are paid by the city, and they wouldn't have any money. No auditor, no treasurer, no voter registration. We're at a crisis. This is like Frankenstorm, only it's Ballardstorm. And Andrea Moorhead, you've been traveling all over central Indiana asking what's on people's minds. I bet they're going to tell you some of this on Thursday at the Chase Center.
No doubt. Absolutely. You know, as you mentioned, Amos, we have been all over central Indiana since late August. We've been to Anderson, my hometown in Madison County. We've been to Beech Grove. We've been in Greensburg, Lebanon. I was at IU in Bloomington last week. We've been to Kokomo, Greenwood, Danville, Carmel, Columbus. You name it. We've been all over central Indiana. And really just asking viewers, what are the major concerns and issues that you have, both on the national level as we get closer to the election? Now, here we are just 8 days away,
right,
but also statewide as well as your local government. And it's amazing. I mean, everyone has something to say. Everybody has an opinion about something that goes on with local government, state government, and national government. And a lot of folks want changes.
So now, can people still go over to the Chase Legacy Center on the campus of Tech High School and this Thursday? And if so, what time?
Yeah, this Thursday, we're going to be broadcasting live there from 5 to 11, or from 5 until 6:30, and then we'll be there at 7 o'clock for our community conversation for an hour, and that's our opportunity to hand over the microphone to the viewers and let you tell us whatever you want to. The only moderation that's going to come from us is just literally handing the microphone from person to person. So we really invite the entire community to come on out and just to talk, to have a debate, to have a discussion. I think it's just one of the best forms of democracy, and that is, you know, obviously freedom of speech and for everybody to have a chance to voice their opinions. And it's not our chance to tell you what the news is. You are going to tell us what the news is in your community.
And will this lead to follow-up reports on Eyewitness News Channel 13?
Absolutely. In fact, I did a report in Beech Grove 2 weeks ago that came out of our community conversation. So, yes, this is the time for viewers to come on out, talk to us, tell us what they think. And if there's a great story that we hear, you may see us doing a follow-up story in the near future.
Why do I get the feeling there'll be some people there standing and lining up in front of the microphones to talk about the looming city buddy of a budget crisis where county government is going to come to a standstill, mayors breaking state laws, and all kinds of... You need to tell... Where's Bob at? Where's Bob Siegel at? I know y'all is sweeps. Y'all are working on investigate. Bob needs to work on this. Bob and Sandra, where's Investigate 13?
Well, I tell you what, they are working right now. In fact, our Mary Mills is our City Beat reporter, and she covers City Hall, the mayor's office, and everything that goes on here in the city of Indianapolis, and specifically Marion County. And let me tell you, she's working on something for this evening. I can assure you that she's on it.
She needs to be on this because we can't have marriages not occur in the city because the county clerk can't do marriage licenses. Bodies, get it piled up at the coroner's office because nobody can do coroner's inquest. Nobody can get their property surveyed because there's no property surveyor. 4-H out of business in Marion County. This is a crisis, mm-hmm. Andrea.
It is. We're hearing a lot from folks, Amos, who are upset about property assessments. We all know what's right. been going on with that issue over the last 2 or 3 years. Taxes coming due this November, and folks are worried that they're going to have to be paying more, if not now, but definitely next May, and then even for, fall of 2013. So that's a huge issue. Another huge issue we're hearing people talk about, jobs and, of right. course, the economy. Everyone is wanting to know, when will the economy turn around and when can I find a job because it's difficult taking care of my family because there just aren't enough jobs out there. And then the jobs that are available, they're not paying what they used to.
Right.
So between what's happening here locally in Marion County, those are the other two predominant issues that we're hearing from folks all over Indiana.
I bet you there's going to be some people over there this Thursday, the first of the month, 7 o'clock, the Chase Legacy Center on the campus of Tech High School. Andrea Moorhead, anchor from WTHR Channel 13. And it's sweeps time. That's when See, the TV networks arranged for Sandy to come up the East Coast to goose everybody's rating. Y'all know how that does work. Andrea Moorhead, it's always good to talk to you. Thanks very much for being with us. Marion County Prosecutor. Thank you. Marion County Prosecutor. I know you got to rip and run.
Because
you got to do. Is there anything you want to add to the discussion?
No, I mean, obviously we have joked to a certain extent, but it could not be a more serious issue. We are already seeing in our office the effects of the decrease in the number of our police officers on the street in terms of the quality investigations, in terms of the staffing of the police department units. And so we all need to engage in a serious conversation. And that includes not only our budget, but whether our sheriff can take on additional responsibilities. This conversation needs to occur now.
All right, 239-1310, 239-1310. We're going to let the prosecutor go. We'll take a break. We'll continue with the Democratic majority. And when we come back, I'm going to ask him the question. We have a new public safety director that started work today, but he has not been confirmed by the council. Even though he's a nice guy and I think everybody loves him, the council right now, they're not happy. They might not confirm Brother Troy Riggs. It doesn't stop him doing the job, but that's embarrassing. But, you got to fight fire with fire. It's After News with Amos after these. All right. Welcome back. 239-1310. 239-1310 is After News with Amos. We have a new public safety director, Madam Council President Maggie Lewis, who started today, but he has to be confirmed by the council. Is that now what was going to be a rubber stamp? Is that now going to be a little rocky?
It was never going to be a rubber stamp. My colleagues and I felt like this is a very important position and that this individual needs to be vetted by the entire community. So it was never going to be rubber stamped. He has not been introduced formally to my colleagues and I, and so I believe that's going to take place at the next council meeting in November, and then we'll start the conversation and see what happens.
How important is it that there be individual conversations with the new public safety director? I mean, there's a big article in this morning's newspaper about him and talking about his propensity to listen and reach out to people. How critical is that he, reaches out, to the council?
I believe it's very important that he reaches out to the council, but also other individuals in the community. We have clergy who have not met Mr. Riggs. I mean, there's several individuals and groups of constituents that need to meet this person.
239-1310, 239-1310. Let me go to the phones in anonymous. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
I got a concern. Basically, okay, it seems like the mayor is doing all this stuff, but what is the why isn't the governor? What is his position?
Well, this is a city matter, not a state matter. So the governor's over the state, the mayor's over the city.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And also, you know how these football players and all them getting paid this big money?
Mm-hmm.
So who's okaying all these millions of dollars? I think that we, as taxpayers, should say, hey, there should be a limit now.
Oh, but see, now you raise something, and that is that all the professional athletes that play here in Indianapolis are Colts, and then when the visitors come here, the portion of their local of the portion of their salary that they earn that day in Indianapolis, their local option income tax goes to, as I remember it, the downtown TIF. And so we get some of that money. So when Miami, you know, Dwayne Wade and LeBron and them come to play, whatever their proportion of their salary is for that game, 1.65% of that goes into the downtown TIF. It goes, the city gets it some kind of way. And so they are paying, but see, this also raises the fact, and I'm use when LeBron and them come to town, we have to make sure that those players are safe, and that requires some law enforcement officers, some of our police officers and sheriffs on duty, not off duty, to protect them. The Pacers have to take care of that. The Fieldhouse has to take care of that. The Lucas Oil has to take care of that. And that's the Capital Improvement Board. And they're not helping to pay the cost to be the boss. They give money to the arts. They give money to Expo. They give money to Convention Bureau. They use up a lot of our resources. And that's what the council president was trying to do, get some of that money back to recoup folks.
Exactly. That $15 million would go specifically to public safety and to secure our neighborhoods in downtown Indy.
Well, now let me ask this. I raised, as the budget season was starting, and told the listeners that with all, given the public safety crisis we have here, given the funding crisis we have here, I didn't think we could afford anymore to let all of these festivals and events that happen downtown and throughout the city that causes police officers, ambulance drivers to be assigned to those events, that those events happen and they don't pay something in return. And I told the audience, in my opinion, it was time for the 500 Festival to give it up. It was time for the Colts to give it up. It was time for Expo and the Classic to give it up. I mean, all these little runs. I mean, what is it? There's a marathon coming up this Saturday that's going to tie up half the north side of the city. They need to give it up. In other words, if people are using up our police resources, our fire resources, our Department of Public Works resources to have all these little races and runs and stuff, they need to pay something more than a token $25. Is this something the council could relook at that maybe this raises a couple million dollars a year?
Amos, that conversation has been going on for a long time in the city. And looking at long-term solutions for public safety, we're going to have to develop some revenue sources. They're finally developing a revenue source to have the police officers and firefighters who have taken on vehicles give some money back to recoup the expenses of the wear and tear of the vehicles and the gas. That's finally going to be done, I think, in 2013. Through a city policy, which the council enacted a policy 4 years ago almost, and they never moved on it. So that's going to be done. So there's going to have to be some creative ways for us to gain some revenues for public safety, because there's no other ways to fund public safety, and the costs keep going up. We have the Rebuild Indy money that the mayor refuses to access for public safety. So what we have now is we have a murder and a chalk line on a nicely new paved street. We have a person's purse snatched on a smooth sidewalk. When the criminal runs away, he doesn't trip over any cracks. So that's the mayor's priorities. Curves and sidewalks instead of police officers, which is unfair to the citizens of Indianapolis.
Let me go to the phones in Robert at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. I just wanted to take and ask the council, why did they why didn't they defund the pay raises for the employee, given the fact that the mayor had staked out his position and wasn't going to cooperate with the Democratic Council in the first place?
So that I shared earlier, that was one of our options. We could have taken several items out of the mayor's budget. There was things within our budget that increases in the council budget that we felt that was important. And so we thought basically we weren't going to play any type of political games with his budget nor with the council budgets. And so that was one of our options. But we try to keep this fair, not put any politics in it. There's been questions about the mayor's travel. We've had several requests to take the money out of his travel. But in an attempt to be good stewards and good partners in the city, we left the mayor's portion of the budget alone.
Let me come back. I got an email from somebody that they kind of wants to say they kind of want to really understand if the council cannot override these two vetoes, what happens?
I think it's important that folks in the community really think through what the consequences of the mayor's actions are. And what it actually means. I mean, the mayor could argue on one hand that it's a force to make some negotiation occur, or you could look at it for what it actually is, and that's that it's a pretty aggressive move that does a couple things. Number one, making it so, in essence, the legislative branch, the elected legislative branch, can't function in our city. And number two, puts our countywide elected officials in real jeopardy with their budget. And as I mentioned earlier, the real effects on public safety are real and dramatic on the prosecutor's office and the sheriff's office. What does that mean for public safety across the board? So in one swift move, the mayor has taken away a class of IMPD officers that we desperately need to at least stay where we are, which is lower than we need to be. And number two, put prosecution and the sheriff's budget at risk. That's an important choice folks need to understand.
Councilman Barth, let me maybe circle back and ask this another way. People listening know what a government shutdown is because they've seen it in action at the federal level. Once in the Clinton administration and then almost under the Obama administration. So they kind of know what a government shutdown is. Is what the mayor did, if it cannot be reversed either by the council through by getting five Republican votes to override the veto or by getting a court to enforce state law, is what the mayor did a de facto government shutdown of county government?
Yes, we will not be able to function as a city. The city county councilors will not be able to serve their constituents. There is nothing for us to do. We can't give out legal notices. We can't change any laws. And so without that override, we are basically shutting down local government.
So the mayor's action would shut down the legislative branch of the 11th largest city in the country.
Correct.
Is it also correct that the mayor's action would shut down the public defender services, which then would be a violation of the federal constitution, the Bill of Rights that allows someone the right to be defended in a court of law?
They have two courses of action, Amos. They can even make the appropriate adjustments with a 17% budget reduction, which would drastically reduce services in all the agencies that were cut, or they could go along in 2013 with their original plan, which was approved by the city controller, by the way. You know, out of 40 budget meetings, this was never discussed. And out of the mayor's three-minute budget presentation to the council, it was never discussed. So they can go on in 2013 as business as usual based on the funds they said they needed to run their office. And then when they run out of money in November, shut down.
Also, I want to add that those judicial officers, the Public Defender Agency, receives 97% of their funding from that county general fund where the mayor did his veto, the prosecutor office, 57% of their funds, and then child support, 99% of those dollars come out of that line item that the mayor vetoed.
239-1310, 239-1310 is After News with Amos. Let me go to Terry. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Amos.
Hi.
For members of the council, how are you? Folks, I don't know that this current mayor, who I'm not sure how he got in office another time at all, he doesn't perform his office as a custodian of the people. He doesn't try to do the business of the people. You are the guardians of our needs, our hopes. We have tax money that's being abused by this current administration every single year he's in office. Please, being nice to this person is not going to work. The business of the people of Indianapolis and Marion County is more important than respecting someone that has no respect for us. Take whatever money you need to take care of the business of the people, please. Thank you.
All right, let me go to Brother Kareem at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, and how you doing? How you doing, Madam President?
Hello, how are you?
All right. Listen here. This mayor that we got here, I've been following this guy. This dude is a military man. And everything that he's doing, it brings me to the thing of what they call King Alfred Plan, when it shuts down all the cities and infrastructure and taking basically take away the constitutional rights of the people and put them on a military regime. This guy, he's constantly doing that. What I'm not understanding is, Madam President, is that why in the hell can't we just impeach this dude and get him out of there under this? Because quite naturally, he has violated the Constitution in every which way and form that he can, and that is treason. I mean, in other countries, they would have this dude beheaded. So can somebody explain to me why we got to sit and be cordial with a man who violate the Constitution, we the people, and is committing treason against the Republican form of government in the name of democracy. Peace.
I think because, Brother Kareem, impeachment in Indiana is extraordinarily difficult and can only be done when the legislature is in session, which would be the first 3 months of the coming year. But it is extraordinary. It is more complicated to impeach in Indiana than it is in the federal system. That's the simple answer to that. But is there pressure that can be put on this mayor? I mean, the Chamber of Commerce is virtually AWOL. I think they're in. I think they still stayed in Australia with the mayor, and didn't come home because the Chamber of Commerce has been. If this were a Democrat taking this action, the Chamber of Commerce, John Barth, would be screaming bloody murder. The newspaper would be screaming bloody murder. There would be, the neighborhood associations would be yelling, screaming, and hollering. And so far, you know, all of them have been quiet. Do they really want half of this government to shut down on January the 1st?
Well, it's like I mentioned earlier, there are significant consequences to the action the mayor taken. Now we need to make sure that folks in the city understand what the consequences are and what the effect would actually be.
239-1310. Back to the phones and Anonymous. Hi there.
Amos?
Yes.
When you're looking at the mayor, you're looking at Mike Pence. So I just want to let you know that.
All right, good point. Let me go to Greg. Hi, Greg.
How you doing there, Amos?
I'm fine.
I'm going to say something.
Okay.
If I was part of that council, I would go ahead and take that money now. Don't. They should have already took that vote anyway. You can't play around with this, Mayor. You can't play around anymore. You got to be tough. I go ahead and take that vote, and I say, okay, Mayor, we're going to go ahead and do this, and then now we're going to see what's going to happen. He's got y'all on the defense because y'all worry. Y'all can't have me on the defense like this. I go ahead and take that vote now. Take that vote for that money right now. Just give them a certain day. Hey, listen here, we're gonna take this vote in a couple of days, you know, and we're gonna take it and we're gonna see what happens. Y'all guys on the you got you against the wall because the time's running out. You know, he could be delaying it for another reason. Maybe do some kind of time limit, he can do something else. The longer you wait to take that vote, to take that money out of that at the Capital Improvement Board, the more advantages he has. We sent you up there to take care of business. Go ahead and have that vote. Y'all have nothing right now, but if you take that vote, now y'all got some power. Now y'all got something to hold back on. I go up there and take that vote right now, I swear to God.
All right.
I'll go up there and take that vote and have some power
so
on
you're
my
ready.
Side.
You...
Okay, then we don't pass the vote. We got the power to take the money now. We can do something.
All right.
But right now, y'all can't do nothing.
Well, hold on. Let Maggie Lewis and something just hit me, but let me let the council president respond.
I just want to share that we already took the vote. The councilors did pass the vote to force or encourage, however you want to say it, CIB to pay $15 million for public safety. And so we already did that. We already passed a budget that we believe was balanced, that ensured that our community would be able to move forward, that our neighborhood would be, neighborhoods would be safe. And so we passed a balanced
that
budget
is in,
and did the...
So that is in force of law. So CIB either has to do that or take you to court.
Or take us to court. And so we've already done our part. And so the mayor responded at the 11th hour, which is why we are now going to have an emergency council meeting to try to override the mayor's veto. And so we've already moved forward. We've already did all the voting that we need to do. And so now we have to respond to what Mayor Ballard did on Friday.
This may be the stupid question, but what keeps the council from bringing the budget back up and voting it down?
The mayor did not veto the entire budget, and so he only did line item vetoes, and so we can't bring back.
No, but what keeps you from? So even though it passed, you can't do like a motion to reconsider.
That's a good question for our council. So we may have to go back and reconsider that.
Because my Robert's rule said, okay, something that was passed. Hey, oh, wait a minute. Y'all have occasionally had an ordinance that passed, and then you came back and somebody that was on the prevailing side, on the winning side, make a motion to reconsider, and then you reconsider and you vote it down. Because then that would mean the budget got voted down, and automatically you go back to last year's budget.
Yeah, but this budget has been passed and also signed by the mayor. He vetoed six items in his line item veto power. So those are the only things we can reconsider now, which we're going to do on Thursday. So hopefully the Republicans will join with us in overriding some of the mayor's vetoes. And hopefully some of the black Republican clergy in the city will contact their Republican friends and encourage them to.
The mayor's secret black advisory council.
Yes, which we haven't heard from.
Oh, wasn't there also an ordinance that was passed? And as I understand it, this was an ordinance that a couple of Republican members of the council brought up. This was concerns about the parking meters, that the parking meters are working so badly that when a meter is out of whack, the parking meter people keep, you know, giving parking tickets to the same person at the same meter. And I believe a couple of Republican members brought that up in committee. The majority said, hey, that's the best idea we've heard yet. And it passed by a wide margin, and the mayor vetoed it and gave really no good reason other than I'm the mayor and I can veto this. Is that something that maybe that'll get overridden real quick?
I doubt if it'll get overridden, but that comes back up on Thursday also.
Okay.
Amos, I think there's a song that kind of describes this mayor. It goes like, up in here, I done lost my mind. And I think for the mayor up here, up in here on that 25th floor, I done lost my mind. Now, why are we even thinking about hiring a public safety director when he's already vetoed his line item that he can't pay him? So why would he be coming before us for a job?
Because he likes Indianapolis. 239-1310. 239-1310. Afternoons with Amos. We'll take a break. Come back with more of your calls. Afternoons with Amos on a Monday. Oh, Thursday. We'll be live from early voting. We'll be in the city county building. So if the mayor wants to come down, no, not the elected mayor, the real mayor. If the chief of staff wants to come down and give his side of it, we have an open invitation. We've had an open invitation ever since the chief of staff has been chief of staff to appear on the program. The communications director doesn't want the chief of staff to talk to black people. That's the only reason I can think of as to why the communications director won't let the chief of staff explain what the administration's position is, since he really speaks for them. But we'll send out a little note to the chief of staff and invite him while we're at early voting to come on down to the clerk's office that the mayor wants to get rid of. And explain the mayor's point. I'm curious. I really want to hear from the chief of staff why this is a wonderful idea, breaking the law and all that kind of good stuff. This afternoon's name is for a Monday.
With the members of the City County Council, back to the phones. And Jerry, hi there.
Hey, my friend. How's it going?
Fine.
Hey, going back, neighbors talking about Meridian Hills. We need to take note and learn from Meridian Hills. They came together and done something. Let's don't forget about them preachers that went against Bart Peterson now, and the lawyers that helped your mayor to get in there. Your mayor was just up in one of them seats Saturday before last. What is the problem? Are we playing switch and bait? He can be talked to and be reached. Why we pretend like we ain't reaching each other? Downtown is being built up pretty good with taxpayers' money. The business is still going on. Is the mayor making the council a lame duck?
Thank you, my friend.
All right, let me go to Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Yes, I want to know what the council think about the mayor giving up $10.2 million for this, the gamble, they call it, in the last Sunday's paper with this city way. What's going on with that? He gave up $10.2 million.
Yeah, what do y'all think of the $10.2 million going to city way?
Thanks, Amos.
Thank you. The development down by Lilly.
Yeah, that was that's more than $10.2 million, and it was actually done last year. So this is just more development from that vote from last year.
The new money given away is on the Mass Avenue projects. You know, around the new project where the fire station is and the Union Hall, that's the new at least $5 or $6 million going to give away there out of the downtown TIF money.
See, speaking of that, and I raised this when I first heard about it on Thursday, and Councilor Pam Hickman had some concerns. Are we opening up a can of worms to allow a 4 to 5 story tall electronic sign anywhere in this city to bring the Times to make a neighborhood like Times Square? In other words, if they do that for Mass Avenue Historic District, then the next thing you know, somebody would want to put an electronic sign, Councilman Barth, up on the parking garage that the city taxpayers are paying for in Broad Ripple at 62nd and College, or a big electronic sign over on Butler University with that parking garage they're getting ready to build next to Clues Hall, or, you know, in any neighborhood. You know, why do we, you know, I thought we had sign ordinances that restricted, you know, how big billboards and signs are in this city.
We do, and my understanding is that particular sign would have to get a variance. I think in that case, what we need to do, as we need to do all over the city, is we need to listen carefully to the folks who live around there and how that would affect their neighborhood and what they think about how it would impact.
But wait a minute, a variance at some point goes to Metropolitan Development, then you can appeal from Metropolitan Development to the council. Is that something where if, you know, the city ain't talking right, that sign could get variance defeated before the council? Because it's going to end up in front of the council. Councilman Gray?
Amos, that was an organization that really did a good job on monitoring these signs. It was kind of led by Mr. Norm Pace. Mm-hmm. And I have not heard him comment one way or the other yet on this sign, but I'm sure that somewhere along the line, when they have to go to get their permit or whatever it is that they need to get, that you're going to hear a lot of drawback from Mr. Norm Pace and Pat Andrews and some of those people that has worked very hard to keep the signs down in Indianapolis and in these neighborhoods.
Let me go to Albert at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hello. I'm just wanted to call some people. This mayor, he's a one-term, he's been a politician for one term. Who is his advisor? He just don't know all of this. Somebody is advising him, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and the staff, chief of staff, used to be head of the city county council.
So, yeah, right. Yep.
Can you go at them people, you know?
I raised the question whether, you know, is Steve Goldsmith really giving that kind of advice? Has Steve lost his mind, or is our current mayor ignoring, you know, Steve Goldsmith's common sense advice? Because this don't even sound like Steve.
I don't even think Steve Goldsmith would have done this. This was petty partisan politics.
But the mayor said exactly all last year, I'm not a politician. I'm not partisan. I'm a nice guy that cuts ribbons and brings all these jobs.
But he's being a political bully at this point. This is all political. There's an election coming up. The reduction of the 17% out of the general county funds, those are Democrat-led offices. And so this is very political.
Right, he cut every Democrat office in Marion County, mm-hmm, without any prior notification or discussion. This was the Ryan Vaughn, Joe Loftus, and the rest of their friends, and Mayor Ballas tacked to bring the Democrats to submission in Marion County. Hey, and the secret Republican council. But he's trying to bring us to our knees. And one of your calls was correct. At some point, we have to get his attention. We asked for the initial meetings when Ryan Vaughn came to talk about the CIB pilot. That was initiated by the council, not the mayor's office. And now the mayor's done this petty political partisan tactic to all Democrats in Marion County. Now it's up to the Democrat-controlled council to get the mayor's attention in some way.
What happens? Maybe, you know, it's Monday.
we've had before in this city groups of ministers, groups of activists descend on the 25th floor of the city county building with no warning, just suddenly show up in the lobby and ask for a meeting. And these are just ordinary folks or just, you know, grassroots people, sometimes ministers, sometimes, you know, some community leaders, you know, mixed in there. What were to happen if the 16 Democratic members of the council and the elected constitutional officers of Marion County were to all show up in the mayor's lobby one morning and say they ain't leaving till they meet with him?
We'll get escorted out, yeah. The sheriff at the door.
Well, when Ryan
the sheriff's, the sheriff's
when,
with you.
Yeah, when Ryan Vaughn took his job as chief of staff, we asked for a meeting with the mayor to talk with the council leadership. That hasn't occurred yet. We've gone through a whole budget process, 40 budget hearings, you know, and I had a meeting with the mayor to discuss the budget.
But you hear my point. It's yes. One thing if it's a neighborhood group. A sheriff can escort them out. It's another thing if they are the elected officials of this county, the constitutional officers of this county, which would include the existing county commissioners of this county, who are equal in rank to the mayor, mm-hmm. who all y'all show up at his office. Don't tell him when you're coming. Just show up, and you want an appointment, and you're not leaving. First of all, Anderson Cooper would have that on AC360. Rachel Maddow would fly here. No, not Rachel. Ed would come here. Ed would be here. It's something to dramatize to the community the outrageousness and obstreperousness. I know I blew that word, but y'all know what I mean. Of the mayor. To me, that's an acceptable, decent tactic.
I agree, and that is something that we can consider and we could possibly do. But even more importantly, this impacts the taxpayers. And so I think there needs to be an outcry from the taxpayers. I think they need to blow up the 25th floor, give him a call, and let him know what he's done to us.
And he'd have to be in town for us to meet with him. Well, couldn't be on another junket.
Let me just say this. When Vern Bryan and I was meeting with Ryan Vaughn made it very clear to us that the mayor had no concern about what the people think. This was about what he wanted to do.
No, that can't be correct. I mean, the mayor loves people. He loves the community.
He loves the 1%, Amos. he finally, like the lady that ran for vice president, he finally tastes the sweetness. And now he refused to give it up.
239-1310, 239-1310 is afternoon's name. Let me go to Georgia right quick, and then I want to read something from state statute and see whether the mayor is obeying that part of the law. Hi, Georgia.
Hey, how you doing, Brother Brown, and to the council?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know what? All these Down syndrome black Republicans helped put that man in there. And I told these people a long time ago, over four years ago, that you wish you had to play cards with Bart Peterson than to shoot dice with Greg Ballard. Now, one other thing. On them campaign ads that they ran to get this man elected, when that hamburger man came out with that campaign ad and said, oh, Greg Ballard is a good man, and then some of the preachers followed up, and I said, oh, my God, there go the election. I say, oh, my God, I can't believe it. I haven't bought a hamburger there since and never will.
All right, 239-1310, 239-1310 is afternoons with Amos. Under state law, Indiana Code, Section Article 36, Section 3-3-3, it says whenever the executive is absent from the county, that's the mayor, or ill or injured, he may designate one of his deputies as acting executive with all the powers of the office. The executive may exercise this power for a maximum of 15 days in any 60-day period. And a designation under that subsection A that I just read shall be certified to the president and clerk of the city county legislative body. In addition, when the executive resumes his duties, he shall certify to those officers the expiration of the designation. It is obvious that in any 60-day period this year, this mayor has been absent from the county. So, Madam President, since you are the president of the City County Legislative Body, have you received such written designation at any point this year?
I have not. And not a text, not an email, not a request, nothing.
John Barth, you got common sense here.
I hope so.
That's right.
Is your understanding of this the same, that if the county executive, the mayor, is absent from the county or ill or injured, so we know he hasn't been injured, we know he's in great health, he hasn't been ill, but he has been absent several days from the county, and he may designate one of his deputies as acting executive, and that you can exercise that power for a maximum of 15 days in any 60-day period, and the designation shall be certified to the president and clerk of the city county legislative body. That's just a little note, a little text, a little email. I'm out of town today. Ryan Vaughn's in charge. Sign Greg.
Are you asking me if that seems accurate?
Does that seem accurate?
Well, you know, this is my first exposure to that particular piece of the Indiana Code, but from your assessment there, I think that sounds accurate, yes.
So is this something in terms of bringing to light that the chief executive of this county is not obeying the law? The law is very clear. Just any employee has to tell their boss or someone at the business, I'm not in today. Right? I got to tell my boss if I'm not working today or if I'm going to be late. So same with the executive. If he is out of, absent from the county. To me, that implies if you go to Carmel to give a speech, you are absent from the county. If you go to Washington to testify at a hearing, you are absent from the county. If you're in Australia, you are definitely absent from the county. And you're telling me, as the chief executive of the legislative body, you have not gotten any note this year, and I know doggone well he's been absent at least 15 days in any 260-day period.
That's correct. No notice.
So does that also mean if there's a written note, that's a public record? That's a public document.
Correct.
That they ought to be able to provide the public. Oh, they're not going to like me, but I wasn't going to get the Christmas card anyway. 239-1310. How can you violate the law and get away with it?
Amos, you've seen his veto. He's already violated the law. He doesn't care about the law. He just makes up his own rules. For a guy who's surrounded by attorneys, you know, this is very unusual.
Well, he needs new attorneys. Let me go to Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Yes.
Yes, you're on the air.
I heard a couple of times... men who mention preachers, and it sounded negative. They need to understand that preachers are from God, and they are to be honored. And it's just not wise at all for them to talk the way that they did in regards to preachers. And, you know, I don't know what your position is, but, you know, if you feel that way, it would be nice if you would correct them so it's not repeated, because it's just wrong.
And ma'am, I mentioned preachers, and I meant no offense as far as their religious affiliations, but these were political positions taken by some men in the community that supported Greg Ballard and are supposed to be taking political positions on different issues in the city. So that's politics and not religion. I fully respect each pastor in Marion County, regardless of the denomination, because they're trying to do the God's work. But then when you get involved in politics, that's different work.
Two different men mention preachers.
You heard.
Both not in a positive way. And they just need to stop, because it's wrong.
I think if there were any mentions of preachers, it was to their obligation to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. It had nothing to do with their rendering unto God the things that are God's. Okay. Let me go to Danny at 239-1310. Hi there.
Yes, I wanted to make a comment concerning how the government is doing as far as the layoffs and things of that nature. And I just don't think that the Democrats and most people are aware of the diabolical plan that the Republicans are doing, because they can't afford to have another good job report from Obama. So you notice the Republican states, they're doing little things, but we're talking about other things. But what they're doing is trying to keep the job number down. And this is one way that they can keep the job number down, is by doing things like that, what our mayor is doing, and that, like, they got a bill, Obama got a bill in there right now that would get jobs that's been in there for a year and a half, but they won't even bring it up. No one says that the bill is bad. No one even say anything about it, but they won't even bring it up. So they're trying to keep the job numbers down, and they're able to get away with it by not seeing nothing. And that's been their strategy. Just don't say it. Don't tell us about your taxes. Don't say anything. And it's working, believe it or not. And I just don't think a lot of people are really aware of that fact.
All right, good point, my brother. Got another email. Said, you know, it would be tremendously powerful if the sheriff escorted the council off the 25th floor. And the email also says the council leadership needs to come back to the churches that voted them in and ask their members to flood the mayor's office with calls. Don't forget to follow up with your base.
Amos, I do that pretty much once a month. I'm over at visiting various churches, and actually tonight I'll be at Eastern Star Church, and so I will ask the question if given the opportunity.
Why do I get the feeling she's going to be given the opportunity? Why do I have that feeling? Let me go to Boy George, be the last caller with the members of the Democratic majority. Hi there.
Hi. How are you?
I'm fine. What's up?
Thanks for taking my call, but I had a comment about that mayor. You were saying that it's kind of hard to impeach somebody that's not doing his job, but as a mayor. But I would like to know if that any kind of way his pay can be docked, since he is all gone more than the time than he is on the job. Can he be docked more so like any other employee rather than laying off all the other set of employees like the sheriff and firemen and all of that?
I don't know whether he can be docked, but can the mayor be requested to appear at a council hearing to ask about his job development efforts in his trips to Germany, England, Australia, and Japan and China?
He can be asked, but he can't be compelled to be there.
Because he's an independent elected official.
And he's never been to a council committee meeting. Mm-hmm. Never in his time as mayor. Mm-hmm. He makes that one presentation yearly for the budget. Like I said, this year, I think it was 3 minutes or four minutes.
The shortest ever.
You know, he came in and spoke about the budget, but that's the last time we saw him. He's been missing.
And never any kind of, never any kind of discussion or talk?
No. And when I became majority leader, I told him he was welcome to come to any Democrat caucus meeting. Mm-hmm. You know, he's welcome to come, not as lackeys. He's welcome to come.
I understand he doesn't. He rarely goes to the caucus meetings of his own party in the council.
I don't have any control over that. They don't invite me either.
All right, this may come up tomorrow because there may have to be some state resolution to all of this.